Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and this on today's show, we celebrate 7 years of Minnesota Military Radio, and we're going to take a look at an upcoming change of command for the Minnesota National Guard. At this point in the show, for the last 7 years, we usually get a message called Generally Speaking from Major General Rick Nash, but we have the pleasure of having him in the studio today. Major General Rick Nash is the Adjutant General for Minnesota. General Nash's military service began with his enlistment into the infantry in 1972. He would later earn a commission as a second lieutenant in the infantry following completion of officer candidate school. General Nash has since commanded at all levels from company to multinational division. And for the last 7 years, he's been Minnesota's Adjutant General and leading the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard. And General Nash, thanks for being in the studio today. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tom. It's my pleasure to be here this afternoon.
General, you spent a few decades in the military.
Yeah, I guess it's been, based upon what you just said, it's about 4.5 decades.
Went quick, sir?
It went extremely fast.
I wonder how that happened. I remember 1972 because that's the year that I came home from Vietnam, and it was the year you enlisted in the Army, and now here you are, a 2-star general, just finished a 7-year tour as Adjutant General, sir.
You're right, and I'm not sure where time has gone, but one correction. I did not come voluntarily. I did not enlist, and I thought you knew that. I received a draft notice a month after I graduated from Mankato, and so I had no intentions of joining the military, Tom, to be quite frank. I wasn't opposed to what was going on in Vietnam at the time, but I had my vision was to get a degree and teach and coach. And so military wasn't on one of my professional plans, but that changed with the postcard a month after graduating. And as some of your listeners remember, a little postcard that says greetings. And so my draft board found me, God rest their souls. And so fast forward 45 years, and here I am.
Well, sir, I never saw one of those postcards because I enlisted out of high school, but something changed. You were drafted as an enlisted man, and you got a commission, and you changed your mind, and you stuck around for a long time.
I figured I wasn't going to make a very good enlisted or non-commissioned officer, so I had to take a different route.
All right, sir. I'll let that one pass. I don't want to get in any trouble today, General. Can you explain to our listeners, Adjutant General of the State of Minnesota, you serve on a board with the governor, and you're the top officer for the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard. Can you explain what Adjutant Generals do?
Sure. As you mentioned, Tom, I'm one of Governor Dayton's cabinet members, one of his commissioners. So I'm the other half of my title is the commissioner for the Department of Military Affairs. And as the Adjutant General, my responsibility are to man, train, and equip and provide those resources to our Army and Air National Guard of Minnesota and provide those to the governor, who's our commander-in-chief in the state of Minnesota, as are all governors across our 54 states, territories, and the District of Columbia. So that's my first responsibility, is provide him with a state force to respond to any natural man-made disasters that would strike Minnesota or any of our neighboring states through cooperative agreements that the governors have to respond, as we just have recently experienced with sending helicopters to Texas for the hurricane and to Florida for the hurricane. And we currently have soldiers and airmen in the Virgin Islands and in Puerto Rico. So that's the first half of the mission. The second one is obviously providing a trained, ready force for the President of the United States on a federal side to respond to any occasions that we have to, which we've been doing a lot of, as you know, and we've covered that on the station for the last 7 years since 9/11.
So, General, unlike the reserves or active duty, which only have a federal mission, the National Guard in each state has a federal and a state mission, and that keeps you moving in a lot of different areas with those two distinct responsibilities.
Right. And so right now we're sort of in the response phases for the hurricanes, and we also responded to Montana with for fire supports in western Minnesota, so, or western United States. And so those things are going on. And we also have to be prepared currently with the conditions we currently have with the harvest going on and the dryness in northern Minnesota for our own fires. So we also have ready forces that are able to do that in conjunction with the National Park Service and with our Department of Natural Resources. So we're always ready to take care of those in-state emergencies as well as respond to our federal government for forces that are going to be required overseas.
Now, General, I want to go back to your career a little bit. For many years, I think you were a weekend officer, and you were deployed several times.
You're right. I had spent 32 years in my civilian career after my military initial hitch in the precast, pre-stress, architectural, concrete business as an executive. So I spent 32 years of that, as well as then the dual role as being a member of the Minnesota National Guard. So time was critical, and people often ask me, how did you manage your time? And I said, well, it was easy because I didn't have any. You were either doing your normal career in your business, or you were doing some type of training or deployments in the military. And so the first long deployment was in Bosnia-Herzegovina in 2003 and 2004, where I commanded the brigade in Tuzla, Bosnia, and peacekeeping, peace enforcement mission, really the first time since World War II the Red Bulls were deployed overseas. And then the second time came around when I was the division commander for the 34th Red Bull Division, and we were mobilized in 2009 through 2010 to Basra, Iraq.
We're speaking with Major General Rick Nash, Minnesota's Adjutant General, on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, your last deployment was, I believe, the first time a Guard officer was in charge of active duty, reserve, and Guard troops covering almost half of Iraq.
Right. We had, there was 18 provinces in Iraq, and we had responsibility for 9 of those. So the southern half of Iraq, we were responsible for U.S. forces, which were approximately 16,000. And then we also had responsibility for the oversight, training, and advising for 3 Iraqi divisions and 2 border divisions, and then the Iraqi police in the southern half of Iraq. So it was a big job.
Big job, and from all reports, done very well, sir. And 7 years ago, the governor picked you to become the Minnesota's next adjutant general, which means you were the commanding general in charge of the Minnesota Army National Guard and 2 Air National Guard units. And that put you in headquarters over in St. Paul. That was a little different than being out in the field, wasn't it, sir?
It was. It was certainly different in the aspect of that particular position, being the administrative headquarters for nearly 14,000 soldiers and airmen across Minnesota in 63 facilities, and being responsible for a pretty huge budget, federal budget of over $460 million, plus our state contributions to maintain some of the programs that we have in Minnesota. So, and you have to watch every penny and be responsible for it all, as well as then provide that training, knowing that our soldiers and airmen are going to be going into harm's way.
And, sir, at that point, it puts you in charge of a little over 2,000 airmen. And, of course, you know I was in the Air Force, and I don't know anything about pup tents, sir. And so you had to deal with F-16s and C-130s.
We did. And, you know, we're always looking to modernize our force, and so a lot of our time has been spent on getting new J-model C-130s. We have the H-model now, so we want to look like the active component. And right now, in the last month or so, the active component has divested of all their H-models, and so we want to be at the front of the line to get the new J-models here in Minnesota with additional capabilities, as well as we put a bid in to have the new F-35s possibly being based in Duluth at some future date. So we're working those issues all the time with our congressional delegation and the governor's office.
In general, we just had the commanders of the 133rd Airlift Wing and the 148th Fighter Wing on last week, and sounds like the F-16s are the latest model right now. So we're in pretty good shape with those until you get – if you get those F-35s, that's going to be terrific, sir.
I can see the excitement in your voice being a former airman.
Well, sir, I get more excited with that than pup tents. But I'm pretty impressed with your tanks. And while we're on that, sir, we just had a deployment over to Sweden, and I heard that you almost lost a tank in a bog.
That's correct, and I have pictures to prove it. As you mentioned, we did an exercise in Aurora. It's the first time in Sweden that U.S. forces have exercised since, I believe, right after World War II. And so we were pretty excited to working with a cooperating partner and ally, although not a NATO partner. And there were four other nations participating in this exercise called Aurora 17. And so we had a company unit that took part in this exercise. And they have M1 tanks and our Bradley fighting vehicles and rolling stock. And as they were doing cross-country training, which is much different than we do in the United States, they can just go and go across private land and state land and federal land. And they came to a piece of terrain that looked solid enough and had at least 2 good feet of top surface. And they tried going across, and it started to sink and sink. And finally, only 2 feet of the tube of the gun was sticking out. The rest of it was buried. And it took two M88 recovery vehicles. These are huge track vehicles that we normally can tow M1 tanks very easily with. And it took two of them end-to-end pulling this tank with its own track system helping. And we finally had to get bulldozers and backhoes in to dig it out as we pulled it out. And it was completely buried.
And, of course, you can't leave an M1A1 tank behind, can you, sir?
No, the paperwork on leaving an M1 tank in a bog would take me another 3 or 4 years to complete.
Well, sir, it was a good training exercise. You got it out of the bog, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more when we come back. General, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Major General Rick Nash about deployments over the last 7 years all around the world. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In today's show, we've been talking to Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, who is the top officer for the Army and Air National Guard here in Minnesota. And, General, we were talking about a tank and Sweden and some things that happen when you've got men out in the field. But over the last 7 years, you've had deployments in the Army and Air side to Kuwait, Afghanistan. You've had a lot of soldiers and airmen deployed all over the world, sir.
You're right, literally all over the world. South Korea, we've had in Japan, in the Pacific, all through Europe, Southwest Asia. We've had them down to the Antarctica, supporting National Guard units out of New York. And so we've been literally across the globe. And I would be hard-pressed to tell you all the nations that we've been in or are in today. We're in Gitmo today with our MP company doing detainee operations, for instance. And we just had a chaplain and his chaplain aide coming out of Romania after a deployment.
In general, we've had the privilege of covering some of those deployments and even going to Kuwait twice, but it was I thought it was fascinating to watch 2,500 soldiers deploy half a world away to Kuwait, and the logistics involved in that, getting their equipment and the men and the women and the food and the water and ammunition and everything halfway around the world, and your soldiers found a way to make themselves comfortable in the middle of the desert.
Well, you let soldiers and you give them a few tools, and they'll find a way to make themselves comfortable, even if they have shelter halves, Tom.
Was that pup tent thing again,
sir? The pup tent. Like I mentioned, you got to find a guy that has the buttons or the snaps so you can put two together.
General, I have to apologize. When I enlisted, I wanted hot food and a bed, and Air Force was just the key. It worked out real well.
Well, going back to that draft card, Tom, there's choices that you had.
Yes, sir. General, in addition to all of those deployments, the Minnesota National Guard has some European partners in Croatia and Norway.
You're right. And, in fact, after I finish the program this afternoon, Tom, I'm going to head to the airport this evening at 9 o'clock, and I will meet the chief of the defense staff for Norway. He's their chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, so he's making his first visit to Minnesota, and we'll take a trip up to Camp Ripley tomorrow because Norway does, this is our 44th year of a partnering with them, the longest standing Department of Defense bilateral arrangement. And so he'll be up to Camp Ripley, seeing the facilities that we have where his soldiers train every year, either in the wintertime or in the summer. And so we're looking forward to that. And last week, I hosted the chief of the defense staff for Croatia. And this is our 22nd year being a state partner with Croatia ever since the breakup of the former Yugoslavia. So the chief of the defense staff was in town, met with the governor, and the Chad from Norway will meet with Governor Dayton tomorrow afternoon in his office to continue that long-standing relationship.
in general, we were pleased to have the opportunity to follow your troops over to Norway last winter and watch them training out in the mountains and in the cold, and even got some pictures of them digging snow caves so they could sleep overnight out there.
No pup tents in Norway in the wintertime. It's either a snow cave or what they call a quincy hut that you build out of twigs and branches and cover it in snow, and then you dig out underneath it, and with a candle for heat, that's how you're going to spend your night.
Sir, what a great partnership with Norway and those Norway troops. The Home Guard were—they're just as hospitable to people as I've ever met. Really, a great tradition. Sir.
Well, most of them have Minnesota names, or we have Norwegian names. So it's only two or three generations separate us.
We're speaking with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, one of the things that we've covered over and over again since you've been Adjutant General is diversity in the force. Can you explain to our listeners what you're trying to do there?
Sure. I'd be happy to, Tom. When I came in as the Adjutant General 7 years ago, I set out six priorities for what our organization was going to try to accomplish during my term. And they were, you know, building a competent, ready force. And obviously, we've been able to do that and sustain that over a long period of time, both in the Army and the Air. And then whatever our force structure, we had to have the best force structure we can in Minnesota. And we're at 118% strength in the Army, National Guard in Minnesota. And that's the highest in the nation. And so for your listeners, that's having 18% above what you're required to have in our organization. So I've spent the last 7 years trying to get additional force structure for our state response and federal response in order to bring in higher organizations and give more opportunities for leadership and non-commissioned officers and warrant officers in Minnesota. And so finally, in the last 3 months, I've been promised that we are going to get additional force structure in Minnesota. So it took 7 years to get it done, and haranguing National Guard Bureau to provide that to us. So that's going to be accomplished. And then we dealt with cyber security, cyber response, and we're going to get a cyber protection team in Minnesota next year, 39 persons that will be additional assistance as we deal with cyber intrusions and internet intrusions on our forces. Sustainable infrastructure was another criteria I had, and we've done phenomenal work with our facilities across Minnesota. And as you know, we opened up a 10-megawatt solar field at Camp Ripley to provide self-sustaining electricity to Camp Ripley. And we've done, you know, the gold lead and silver lead in all of our reconstruction and all of our new construction in Minnesota. So I feel very good where we are in terms of our facilities. And then finally, the diversifying our force and inclusion in our organization was a different approach for a military operation. But we have to be able to look like those that we lead. And we made huge strides. This year, we'll recruit 25 to 26% of our new recruits, so 1,800, will be race, ethnic, or gender different than we were 7 years ago. So that's a huge increase. And as you know, and you've had many of them on your program, we've had the first African-American general officer. We've had the first female general officer in the Air Force, the first female general officer in the Army. We have senior women in all of our key positions on our staff. And we had senior enlisted advisor, the first ever in Minnesota, Command Sergeant Major Cynthia Kahlberg, who's now retired. So it's made great strides. Plus, now we've recently established a junior diversity council. So they respond to me. We have meetings four times a year, and it's junior enlisted and junior officers and me. And so they're very open in terms of how they give me feedback of what we need to do to continue to evolve and change and look like Minnesotans.
And sir, it looks like you've done a heck of a job with that. And one of the other topics that keeps coming up, you refer to, or your people refer to, as R3SP, resilience, risk reduction, and suicide prevention. General, you've taken on some really tough topics in the 7 years that I've been watching.
And we have more to do, Tom, unfortunately. But we have great support facilities across Minnesota. I can't say enough about the Minneapolis Veterans Hospital and our work with Director Kelly. And also there's a ring study that's been done for the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years probably of looking at mental health, PTSD, and issues of how we can improve the services that we provide to continue to build resiliency within our force. And then there's an ADAPT program that is being conducted at the University of Minnesota also to help on family issues and children when we have so many deployments and how they deal with that.
And General, it's been our honor to cover a lot of those topics on this show and make sure that everyone in Minnesota knows what's going on with the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard. Sir, you've also been in charge of and given the responsibility for all these soldiers and airmen for 7 years. Is that a heavy burden, sir?
It is.
You look like you've weathered it well.
Well, I probably hide it well, but it's especially when you have soldiers and airmen overseas, and that's been the case for my entire term, 7 years.
We've had someone
deployed all the time. As I tell folks, they can relate to it. It's sort of like a parent and your kids are out on a Friday or Saturday night. You don't rest until they're home.
Yes, sir. But your troops have performed wonderfully all over the world, and it looks like a heck of an experience for 7 years leading some really terrific troops, sir.
They don't make them any better.
General, you spent over four decades in the military, and we've got people listening on 45 stations all over Minnesota, 250,000 people. Some young people might be thinking about a career in the Minnesota National Guard. Looking back, what would you tell them, sir?
I tell them to, when that career counselor talks to them about opportunities, they ought to consider the military, whether it's the Guard, the reserves, the active component, any of the services, even the Air Force, Tom, that they ought to consider that because of the educational benefits that they're going to have, the leadership opportunities they're going to have, the maturity. And so we would encourage parents to, you know, talk to their children, give them an opportunity to serve here in Minnesota, to serve other Minnesotans.
In general, we've said this on the show many times, but every airman and every soldier now knows that if they sign up for the Minnesota National Guard, they're probably going to deploy. Not only do they keep signing up and re-enlisting, but they want to deploy because it's a path towards promotion. It's a path towards their career. Be hard not to be proud of all those soldiers and airmen, sir.
Well, it's amazing how many of our soldiers and airmen want to know when they're going to deploy because that's why they've signed up. They understand that. Whether it was a grandfather or father service in Minnesota and across ethnic backgrounds, they just want to be part of a great professional organization.
General, we're just about out of time, but I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to be able to tell these stories the last 7 years and to follow your soldiers and airmen all over the world and talk about their training and their readiness and the patriotism in supporting our country. And it's been just an honor and a pleasure to know you, sir.
Well, thanks, Tom. It's come a long way since that first sit-down we had, and you had this crazy idea about a radio program talking about veterans, families, military service members.
On one station.
On one station, yeah. And now it's 44. And as I tell folks, and I'm not afraid to say it, we have a great radio station in my hometown, K-Check Radio. I need to get the plug in for Tom Getzinger, and that program is how they take care of their veterans in that area and their service members and their families. And, in fact, Tom's son, Sam, is going into the media, and he's going to be going to St. Cloud State University next year, so there's another generation, and so you got to keep this program going, Tom, for another 7 years at least.
Sir, yes, sir. General, we've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have on some folks from our flagship station, iHeartMedia. And so please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet with some gentlemen from iHeartMedia who put Minnesota Military Radio on the air 7 years ago. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelato.
Congratulations to Minnesota Military Radio as it celebrates its 7th anniversary on air this November. It has been a pleasure being part of this show and sharing important information with you, our listeners, each week. I want to thank iHeartRadio and Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 for allowing us the opportunity to be on the air and for making Minnesota Military Radio possible. A special thanks to Market President Jeff Tyler and Program Director Andrew Lee. Due to their generosity, we are able to reach listeners throughout Minnesota on 42 stations across the state. And lastly, a special thank you to Tom Lyons, our host and fellow Vietnam veteran. Without his dedication and vision, this show would not have happened. Tom has touched the lives of today's service members, veterans, and their families. He continues to make a difference in the lives of others each and every day. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalhoub. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Jeff Tyler, president of the Western Great Lakes region of iHeartMedia, and Andrew Lee from Justice and Drew in the morning.
That's right.
Gentlemen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Mr. Lee, I want to start with you. We've been on the air now for 7 years.
Amazing. Congratulations.
And every once in a while when we see you and put you on the air, we give you credit for this, or it's your fault, one or the other.
Credit or blame, however you want to phrase it. That's fine. I'll take either.
He'll take it either way. Can you explain to our listeners, where did this idea come from?
But actually, you know, this was one of the first things I did when I came up here and as a program director of the stations. I was running a station in Tucson, Arizona, which is home to Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. And I wanted to do a show down there that was kind of dedicated to that community, told the stories of veterans and service members and families that lived in that community. And it was a great success. We had a wonderful success with that show. When I came up here, wanted to do something similar. Actually met with you over at JJ's Clubhouse. We had a nice lunch, which you paid for. Thank you. I don't think I've bought you lunch back since then. And we actually met to talk about your work with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Wanted to figure out a way that the station could support those efforts. And that conversation sort of led into the idea of doing a show that was focused on service members, families, veterans, telling their stories. And then you took it and ran. You got the National Guard involved. And I remember the very first meeting we had about the show, and I was blown away at how detailed you guys were just in before we ever even recorded our first episode. You guys had plans laid out, and I knew right away this is going to be real something special.
Well, and here I thought you were trying to get my business show over here, which you eventually did.
Right.
But all you wanted to do was talk about military that day.
Might have been an ulterior motive.
Well, let's see if we can get this guy to volunteer to host this show. So that worked out pretty good. But we started on that by putting together the Minnesota National Guard and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs to co-host or co-produce the show.
Right.
Along with iHeartMedia and myself. And a year or two later, we got the Minneapolis VA healthcare system involved in it, and then we got the veteran service organizations in it, county veteran service officers, and just started piling on piece by piece. But I can remember about a year later, you got an opportunity to go on a thing called a boss lift.
Yes.
On a C-130.
On a C-130.
Camp Ripley and back.
Yeah.
You were kind of smiling on the way back.
That was a lot of fun. That was a really cool experience. And since then, I've flown on a Black Hawk up to Camp Ripley, some other helicopters. I'm not even sure which ones. A couple trips back and forth to Ripley. We've gone to Kuwait.
Picture you in a barracks with 60 other guys in the middle of the desert.
I fit right in.
Going, how did I get here? Well, we covered an important deployment.
Yeah, that was a really special experience, being able to take part in that Serve the Troops mission and serve all those steak dinners to the troops. And that was really humbling and something I'll never forget. The gratitude that, you know, you see from the folks on the base there, just get a little taste of home and talk to some people that they don't see there every day, was really a lot of fun.
And on that trip, we did our show, Minnesota Military Radio, but the next morning we had you on your show live and the fan on their show live.
Yep.
From the middle of the desert over in Kuwait all the way back to Minneapolis.
Isn't technology amazing?
That was first ever from what Colonel Olson told me, and we're going to talk to him a little bit later. Mr. Tyler, none of this would have been possible without the support of iHeartMedia. You supply us airtime, an engineer, studio, public service announcements. And when they told us that they couldn't hear the show up at Camp Ripley about a year after we started, the station agreed to allow us to share the content with out-state radio stations. That just doesn't happen in radio, does it, sir?
Well, I mean, not really. I mean, we're in a competitive environment, I think, but this circumvents everything. I mean, this is a show that really is not only a public service, but it's really something that needs to be done, you know, so to speak. I mean, we all, these days, we're seeing our military protect us, serve us, fight, sacrifice every day at different levels, whether they're overseas or they're flood victims or wherever it is. We see it happening every single day. And so that sacrifice, it's easy to turn over airwaves to help the families of those people. That's a no-brainer. And really, this was Mike Crushum, my predecessor, that really opened the door for you guys. I just was able to keep the door open, so to speak. But you do all the heavy lifting. You're the one that's brought up 45 affiliates to this show on a Sunday or on a weekend around the state of Minnesota. You deserve the credit for that. I mean, we're just giving you the facility, and that's an easy sacrifice for us.
Well, the Adjutant General said he wanted his troops to be able to hear this show at any one of his 63 facilities all over the state. So we had marching orders from the general, and we tried to get out there and do it. And and I just want to say thank you to you, because it is unusual for anyone in the radio business to share content with any other competing stations. But this is a Minnesota Military Public Affairs show, and we try to tell the stories of the military in Minnesota, the services and programs for our veterans, and all of the other resources available in the state, so that our veterans know where to go to get help. And without you supporting us and putting us on the air, that'd be pretty impossible. But I think this is unique in the United States too, isn't it?
I think it is too. It's a show that's there's none other like it. I think it'd be great to be able to do this in other places, but there's not more than one of you that I've found, and we need to find a few more to do that.
You need a crazy host to do this?
Yeah, somebody that's a sacrifice and put as much time, Tom, as you do into this. I mean, this show doesn't just happen. The prep that goes into it is phenomenal. So that's a credit to you and everybody else that's involved in the show to pull that off. So,
Mr. Tyler, we've got a guest in the studio here, and commemorating 7 years as Adjutant General. This is Major General Rick Nash. And at his instruction, Sergeant Ben, my producer, went out and submitted an application for iHeartMedia to get a Community Service Award for putting this public service show on the air. And General?
Well, Jeff and Andrew, thank you and for everything that we've done together and really initiated right here with iHeartRadio, and having Tom do this program for 7 successful years and covering the gamut of issues that affect our service members, our families, our veterans. And so, as Tom mentioned, Ben submitted you for an award, and these are very, very rare in the communications industry. And so I think if Tom, are you going to read the award or citation, or if Ben would want to describe it, but it's the 2017 Leadership Communitas Award, iHeartMedia, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Military Radio. So on behalf of all of us that benefit from this great radio program, we want to present this to you this afternoon. Jeff? Wow.
Thank you very much. It's very much appreciated.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's an honor for us to do it. You know, everybody fights and finds a way to serve in different ways, and that's our way to serve. And We're delighted to do it and very empowered to do it. And thank you very much. It's been a great relationship with you. Good luck on your future endeavors. You've been nothing but a supportive entity for us. So thank you,
Jeff. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you. Really, that is an honor. I'll just echo what Jeff said. It's been an honor to be a part of this program, you know, since its inception back 7 years ago. What you've done with it, Tom, I went beyond my wildest imagination of what this show could do. And it's really special what a difference your efforts and this show makes in people's lives.
And Mr. Tyler, beyond just the show, you give us the opportunity to be on the air for 3 hours on Memorial Day and a lot of Veterans Days. And we've done some Christmas specials that touch your heart, like spiritual healing for our combat veterans. We do a lot of things like suicide prevention, and we take on a lot of tough topics. And we're following the lead of General Nash. And the governor has now announced that his successor is going to start November 1st. And when I met with him a week or two ago, I think I signed up for 7 more years. So I hope you guys are willing to put us on.
No such thing as a 7-year itch in this deal. So,
but Mr. Tyler and Mr. Lee, thank you very much. It's been an honor and a pleasure. And General Nash, it's been a great ride, sir. And I hope to have you back on the show later when you're a civilian, sir.
Well, I wish you all the best of luck and from all of our soldiers and airmen, all service members of Minnesota and their families, we want to thank you.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to one of our founding supporters, Colonel Kevin Olson, who was standing there one day when General Nash said, "We're going to do a radio show." This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. And as we've said several times on the show, we're celebrating 7 years of Minnesota Military Radio. And joining me now is one of the my co-founders of the show, Colonel Kevin Olson, who is the Communications Director for the Minnesota National Guard. Colonel, welcome back to the studio.
Always a pleasure, Mr. Lyons.
A few more days you have that title, don't you?
That's true. I'll be transitioning out of military service, celebrating 31 years in uniform on Tuesday. And so November 1st, I'll proudly hang up my uniform and do what I can do to serve the veteran community and my former fellow service members.
Then you'll still be a co-founder and an emeritus member of Minnesota Military Radio because you're not moving out of town.
No, that's exactly it. I intend to take all the great resources that exist in Minnesota and become an entrepreneur. I believe that the military has set me up to do my own venture, and hopefully you'll hear about a public relations company called Snow Globe in the near future.
We'll be following that closely, sir. I want to take our listeners back about 7.5 years ago. As Mr. Lee told us in the prior segment, I met him at lunch one day, and he wanted me to be the volunteer host of a Minnesota Military Public Affairs program, and I took that to General Shelato, who was the adjutant general at the time, and he said, see that two-star over here? That guy's name is Rick Nash. He's a major general. He's going to be the next adjutant general. And he introduced me to General Nash. Of course, we had him on the first two segments today. And we met for an hour and a half and talked about the opportunity to tell the stories of the military in Minnesota on the radio and provide all of our listeners an opportunity to follow what's going on in the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard. And I can remember the day that he brought you into the room and he said, Colonel, we're going to do a one-hour radio show over at Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, and the look on your face was just, we're going to do what?
Well, you know, we're celebrating General Nash's tenure of 7 years as adjutant general, but I had been the director of communications for 14 years for both General Shelato and for General Nash, and I did deploy with General Nash to Iraq during his command of U.S. Forces South. So I did learn from that deployment. And when General Nash says that he wants to do it, you figure out how to make it happen. So that, believe me, that wasn't the first time that there's been a blank stare on my face having been told what General Nash's vision was. But boy, bringing in all the partners, of course, you as our leader, our friends with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and then bringing on the Minneapolis VA hospitals and so many other great partners. This has really launched into something beyond my wildest expectations.
And, of course, my partner every day at the show for most of those years has been Sergeant First Class Ben Houtcooper. Well, and he's told me several times that over those 7 years, your Rolodex, even though it's electronic now, has expanded quite a bit because of all the guests, really hundreds of guests we've had on the show.
Well, that is not to be discounted. The talent of the military producers, our professionally trained military broadcasters, both Sergeant First Class Ben Houtcooper and Staff Sergeant Johnny Angelo, they've added so much to the show. And, you know, these aren't just a couple of good guys or a couple of soldiers that have the knack for it. Again, they're trained. They are both Emmy Award winning, numerous awards. Really proud of Sergeant Houtcooper in particular. He is not only on the local board of directors for our Midwest Emmys, he's a national representative for the Emmys. So he's really respected in the industry, and we're very lucky to have him. And devoting the time out of his normal workday to do this has really become an important part of telling the story of service members, veterans, and families.
And he and Sergeant Angelo have been terrific to work with all these years, and hopefully we can keep this going. But Colonel, if anybody would have told me that we'd have gone to Kuwait twice, Norfolk for the USS Minnesota, Norway, up to Camp Ripley, broadcast at the State Fair every year, done a bunch of broadcasts from Cragen's and live on Memorial Day. This thing has really grown and evolved. It's almost unbelievable.
It really has, and the show has developed a real personality. I love to see the interaction with all of the listeners as you do these great shows remotely around not only the state, but as you mentioned, nationwide, and even visiting our service members. There's nothing like it anywhere else, and it really adds to our ability from the military to just connect the public with our service members today, because very few members of society are actually they serve in uniform. So this is a great way to inform people.
Colonel, one of my favorite afternoons was a few years ago when we had an opportunity to get General John W. Vesey in the studio. He joined us for a POW show that year, and then he agreed to stay on, and we interviewed him for about another and a half, hour and a half, about his career. What a great gentleman.
Yeah, of course, General Vesey was the 10th chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and a Minnesotan. And if somebody is interested beyond just looking at our the radio content from that POW show on MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, we've actually posted the entire video of an extended post-interview with him on MinnesotaNationalGuard.org/Vesey. He was a great Minnesotan and just one of the many great experiences and people that we've had the chance to introduce the public to through Minnesota Military Radio.
And what an honor to spend some time with that gentleman and talk Absolutely. About his career and capture it so that we've got some of that information now that he's gone.
Absolutely.
Colonel, it's been quite a run, 7 years. We've gone a long way. We're up to 45 stations in the network, 250,000 people listening every weekend. And you've been the guy we've called our immediate boss for all those years. It's been a great run, sir. It's been fun working with you.
Well, it has been an honor. You usually close your show out by saying to make sure that people make a difference in someone's life. And that's something that you've done for so many people in our service members, veterans, and family community throughout Minnesota. So on behalf of those of us in uniform, I want to thank you, Tom.
Thank you, sir. And it's been, as I said, it's been a great spending these 7 years with you. And thanks for joining us in the studio today on our seven-year anniversary.
I'll be back on year number 8.
There you go, sir. That was Colonel Kevin Olson, retiring now from the Minnesota National Guard, but he'll be back as part of the show in the future. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Major General Rick Nash, Jeff Tyler, Andrew Lee, Colonel Kevin Olson, Commissioner Larry Shelleto of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And please join us next week as we talk about claims and compensation with the VA and meet the team behind the 23rd Veteran Project. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.